Yeah, man, you sound spot on. Also, looking great, mate. This is the first time I've seen you without loads of shit in your face.
That is true. Yeah, I'm trying to think. I must have taken these out 2 or 3 years ago. I think I just got to the point where I was like, I'm causing a lot of damage to my face every time I like fall over or just walk in the doors and stuff. I'm a grown up now. I'm pushing 30. I can't be walking through the airport and my face getting scanned before they scan the rest of my giblets.
Looking bleak, isn't it?
I know. Do you remember airports when you're allowed in them? I can't even go to the co-op.
Oh, yeah. A fondness of getting patted down.
Yeah, I know. I'd pay someone to come pat me down right now.
You know what, man? Since cutting my hair, don't get fucked with at the airport.
That's interesting. Have you had the dick broom on your face since you've been through an airport? Does that raise?
Oh, no. No, that's that. You know what that is? That's for the first time in my life, I get to do really what I want with my face because there's no fucking, I don't have to play a gig.
Yeah, that is true.
So I had a beard that was daft.
I saw that. It looked delicious.
Yeah. And now I've got my little blonde tash.
That's looking good. I mean, the good thing is about the age me and you are at now is I think legally we're allowed to help cars we don't know pull out. You know, like there's a certain age, like if you're 21, 22 and you're like, all right, mate, yeah, I'll come out. The driver's like, fuck off, I'm not trusting you. But if you've got a mustache or not 20 million facial piercings, the driver will be like, I'm going to let this geezer help me pull out here.
Yeah. He probably knows what he's doing. Exciting, what an exciting rest of our midlife we have now.
I know. I mean, my dad was saying for a while how he had such a piss poor 30th. He was like, I was stuck on the Eurostar coming back from Brussels, so it'll be quite difficult for you to get anything worse than that. And then on Thursday, I got the old isolation certificate, and I was like, David, I can't even go to one stop for a Cadbury's milk on my 30th. So, you know.
Fuck me, man.
Got the top trump card there.
Yeah.
So this
hooray.
Is it. So I come up with this idea. If I was like, I'm just going to speak to people and try and bring some sanity back.
Nice.
So how you been? Like, COVID aside, because I feel like that's pretty much the handshake that everyone gives now. Have you been during COVID? But before that, we're ignoring that, as everyone else is trying to do.
I've been all right, man. You know, we like, this is the new space, which is, check this out. We don't have running water.
Yeah. There we go. Here's a nice.
And it's still a massive step up. Like, so it's above a sweatshop, like a proper full on don't look, you know, sweatshop.
Of course.
Yeah. So like the, you know, when it was all kicking off about like the treatment of factory workers in Leicester.
Yeah.
All the guys here were like, you know. So it's pretty interesting. You get like oddballs coming around. There's a guy who lives, so we're in just like some old ass mill, and there's a guy who fucking lives, he wears like mirror ball pants every time I see him, and he lives in one of the like weird sort of abandoned rooms, and he's like a musician but really just takes heroin and shouts.
I mean, that is,
so he's one,
a lot of musicians I know are like that.
I know. So he's one of the neighbors, which is fun. But wow. No, man, it just took like everything I had to build this. Yeah. And so now we can just kind of do whatever we want, which is the situation I wanted to get myself in. So we're mixing a record that's taken us a year of and three different studios.
Yeah.
And
I mean, at least now you can't get distracted by going on the road. So it's.
Yeah. I can't even get distracted by, you know, making a brew. I can, like, I'm literally sealed into this room, which is pretty funny. You know, my vitamin D, let's put it this way, my vitamin D has taken a died.
Battering. Is it? You're quite low on the D now, so
yes. Yeah. I know. But it's just like, I need to finish this album that we've been working on for a year. Like, we've recorded like demos that have turned into slightly better demos that have turned into, let's build a new studio and should we make this the record? And then we moved studios and now we've got better stuff. We're like, oh great, okay, let's re-record a lot of this and now it's going to be the record. And honestly, like, me and my mate who's engineering it with me and stuff, we're at like breaking point. Okay. It's got to be done by this year, because if it leads into next year, then it's 2 years and I can't.
Was the plan for this year, regardless of Rona, to not go out and just hide away?
No, we were gonna do shows. We had because our album is coming out like next week, and as you know, in very much my tradition, put an album out and you don't tour. Yeah. Like, that happened with the very first one. And it's funny, it's like every time a record gets put out, all of a sudden I don't have any shows. So, you know, because, you know, with the first man-made record, we did that Jake Bug tour and stuff, and we toured a bunch, and the tour ended 4 days before the record came out. And then we were like trying to get talk to our agent, who obviously would never pick up the phone with us, you know, and was like, can we get shows? So, you know, the record is at least for sale at the shows. And he was like, no, we're done for the year. And so we had to call up record shops and we're like, we'll put the record in the shop.
I remember. Yeah.
If we play them. Which led us to playing some very bizarre record
shops.
Yeah,
right. Yeah, you did a record store tour.
Oh, yeah, yeah, because that was the only thing we could do. I mean, obviously, Pine Vinyl worked. But
yeah.
We did some very odd ones.
Oh, no, I can imagine. I mean, doing a record shop in Portsmouth can be sketchy enough, and the fact that that's sort of the high end of what you did.
I know. I like that my shaping of Portsmouth is basically me and you sharing horrifying murder details.
I know. I will never forget you staying around, and we ignored the Olympic opening ceremony because we were both too cool for that. And so we were hanging outside my window and we just saw that police car like just mount the curb and like arrest this bloke, and then they just sort of drove off like out of nowhere. It wasn't down some like dark alley, it was just on the main road. And I was like, honestly, I'll make this up now. I'm telling you,
yeah,
what Portsmouth is like, and you're here seeing it.
Well, we had last week up here, we had a 15 year old boy stab a cyclist while he was riding to rob his bike, and all he could stab him because he was going past so fast. All he could stab him with, stabbed him in the calf. A 15-year-old stabbed a grown man, like a Lycra lad, in the calf, got him off his bike, robbed his bike. It's bleak.
Yeah. Well, wouldn't have it any other way. I can't move out of Portsmouth, and Manchester's in your blood.
I know, you're the patron saint of Portsmouth, though.
No, I am, which is, you know, fucking terrifying when you actually know me. You go, oh, Christ.
You know what, yeah.
The good egg that's come out of there.
I had a realization when I was out on, I was doing some stuff with Hans, and like, you know, when I'm in Hans' world, I'm all of a sudden like in like the most amazing like way of working and living. And we were there for Thanksgiving in the States, and he was like, oh, we're having a party, like, come, you know, come hang out. And it's at his house in Malibu, and it's like November, and before food and stuff, I was just like, oh, I'll just go and wander on the beach. And because it's Thanksgiving, no fucker was there. And I'm like watching the sun go down warm in November on a beach in Malibu with like the cliffs behind me. And I was thinking the whole time where I was like, other places in the world are nicer than where I live, like a lot nicer. And the second you realize, like, I got really worried that I'm like, if people realize pretty much everywhere else is nicer, all of a sudden we won't have anyone live here. And I was like, but so I have to come back, because I was like, fuck, man. If, cause, yeah, because it's like, you know, I at least enjoy it being shit. Because it's like, if the people that don't enjoy the really shit bits out of it, like, move, I'm just be like, the whole place will be, we'll be lost. There'll be nothing good.
Yeah, no, it would just turn into a hipster farm or something worse. Well, I mean, but that's the thing with Portsmouth, is it's so well known for people to just never leave, you know, yeah. Where it is an island city as well. Like, people are never off the island. And so it just blows their mind, the idea of packing up and moving to a different city. I don't know whether the influx of students will eventually shift some people out, but I can't see it happening anytime soon.
It'd be weird. We have it in Manchester where all of a sudden we, like, you know, there's all these like fancy gyms popping up and stuff, yeah, like that. And you're like, I don't know whether Manchester will ever get cleaned up of the smackhead who wears disco ball pants every day, you know, and I'm like, I just don't know. I know, talk to me in another 5 years and I'll be like, yeah, I don't know where anyone's gone. But right now I still have that, like, I bet you can't change Manchester that dramatically, no matter how hard you try.
I think, as much as I hate a lot of the people, it's reassuring sometimes when you think, oh, is it changing too much? Like, Southsea, where I live, you know, right by the beach, is full of students, full of independent places popping up, and, you know, it's a sort of real right on sort of place. However, on the pier, right opposite where I used to live, they had a sold out show with Roy Chubby Brown recently, and so, and I was like, oh, they've not all gone yet. They're still floating about here, so that's nice, isn't it?
Yeah, that's lovely. I'm glad we're still doing that. Yeah, I'm glad still doing Roy Chubby Brown.
Yeah, yeah, sold out really quickly, apparently. So, God love them.
It's amazing, isn't it? The racists always seem to live really long.
Yeah, I know. It's I can't get my head around it, especially in a place like Portsmouth, where, you know, it's a port. Supposed to be sort of quite welcoming, you know, from all the naval people that we've had through the years, and we just fucking hate everyone that isn't us.
Jesus Christ.
And that filters through into the football team as well.
There you go. Yeah.
Fans just, with a passion, hate everyone that isn't them. And we'll brick you because of it.
Yeah. Do you remember that woman on the pier that, when I had long hair and a beard, that stopped us? Do you remember this?
God, yeah, for a photo, wasn't it?
Yeah, she was like clamoring, Jesus, Jesus Christ, Jesus Christ. And I was like, yeah, ha, 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 like long hair, beard. Yes, yes, I know. Bless you, my child. You know, and she was then like, no, 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 I must get a photo with you. I must get a photo with you, Jesus Christ. And I was like, okay, fine. Take a photo, let's leave. You obviously like left me with the fucking nutter.
I can't deal with one of my, yeah, right now.
I know, pissing yourself. And then when she was like, yeah, no, 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 take it on your phone. I was like, well, have you got a phone? She's like, I don't have a phone. I was like, well, how are you going to take a picture? She's like, take it on your phone. I'm like, fine. I wish I still had that photo. What an insane thing.
That would have been your
asking someone for a photo on their phone.
Yeah.
Mental.
Yeah, it's bizarre. They really love you down here, whether they know who you are or not. They just tend to warm towards you.
I've got that face.
Yeah, yeah. So, you know, you still owe me at least one more visit down here before you can fully rule it out.
Yeah.
At least one. At least one more sleep.
Yeah.
And then you can go, I'm definitely over this place now. But I feel like I haven't had any murders around here to tell you about in a while.
Well, that's nice.
Yeah, which is good. So there's progress there being made. You know, I think killings must be down during Rona. I'm not too sure what the statistics are.
Yeah, you'd hope so, wouldn't you?
Yeah. If I was it,
killings down, masturbating's up.
Yes, yeah.
You've only got so many hands.
Exactly. That's it. The only people that you see in the street now are either heroin addicts or have got dick on their breath. Like, there's not a sort of, there's not really meant too many in between. You know,
oh, God.
Like, uncle doctor visits are through the roof because everyone's got a sore chode. I'm assuming anyway. I don't know from experience.
Oh. Oh, God, mate.
But yeah, it's good. It's nice to talk to you, man. It's been, it feels like forever, but also all the time being on tour together feels like yesterday. It's such a weird thing. This has been the longest moment I've had to sit back and pause and gone, oh, yeah, I did a lot of shit, didn't I, in the last few years?
Yeah.
And I'm glad I've eased out of that now.
I'm still in it, mate.
Oh, God. Honestly, like, I'm trying to think. When we toured with your dad last, I did like a couple of weekenders after that with a few sort of hip-hop bands in and around. But then I did this 2 or 3 week European tour with this rapper. that sealed the deal for me. I was like, no more, thank you for this. I understand that you would like to pay me 2 months late as well. I do not accept.
No.
Like, every day was a fly day.
Oh,
I got spiked in Slovakia. I got arrested in the Bulgarian airport. Like, there were mentions of Nazis at the Berlin show. It was all kinds of hideous shit.
Oh,
No. I was like, oh, man. Fucking over this. I miss glory.
Like, I think we had a moment where, I mean, because when you're still touring in the van, you know, I'm still touring in the same van, you know, because I'm not buying another van.
Red one.
No, that was horse. That was with... that was with when I was in Skylarkin. That was an old postal van, which, check this out. So it was a 70s postal van. And we did one summer, like, we did a summer tour during a heat wave. And so the tour started in Leeds, and we were working out, like, we went up to Scotland, then worked our way down, and we were ending in London. And the bass player was moving out of his house and ending. And moving in to somewhere in London. So we had all our gear and his house in the van because he was like, right, I'm moving. And check this out. He had a cat with him as well named Bam Bam. It was an amazing cat. Also suicidal though, like fully would constantly try and kill itself. It was bizarre. But so we toured, we did a full summer of like festival touring in a postal van where the windows didn't open, and with full band, full gear, someone's worldly possessions, and a tour cat. And it was and I'm allergic to cats.
Sounds like the front cover of a Where's Wally magazine or some shit.
Honestly, it was nuts. So, and then, but like, my van is just all the gear, you know, it's like all the gear, you're in with the back seats, and we still do that. And it's like I like the road, I like driving, you know.
Yeah.
So I don't mind that thing, but when you look back on, like, you know, the shit that I've just had a year break from, you go like, oh my God, mate, I'm still doing this.
Yeah. I don't know. I mean, I got a notification on Facebook today that the vaccines tour I did with Howler was exactly 9 years ago today or something. So come this January, it will be 9 years since the tour that me and you did with them. And if I look at my touring career in terms of progress, I'm still in the back of vans. Like,
I have made very little. Yeah, the big one for me is like, now I own the van.
Yeah, no, you can leave whenever you want, whenever you decide.
Yeah, honest to God. Yeah, that's pretty funny. We've been like road dogging for nearly a decade. And this is why, you know what? Like, I'm sure you get this as well, where kids ask, like, you know, for like legitimate touring advice, or you're like, what advice do you have, you know, for being a musician and stuff. And I'm always like, well, I mean, it kind of sucks.
Yeah.
But it's pretty fun. You know, it's like, I don't know many other things that put that bigger strain on your like mental well-being, that you still come away from it like laughing.
Yeah, it is weird, especially where when I started to tour manage on my own, like that last tour I was on about, it was just me and him. And so it was like all the pressure on me, and there was no one that I could turn to for help. And like the stress of every day was a fly day, you know, every single day was a fly day, because we would just do one city in each country all around Europe. And when I come back afterwards, you know, I was stressed to fuck. I'm just like relieved that I got back and didn't die. And then I was like, oh, yeah, I think I'd do it again. Yeah. And it took,
it took
me friends and family to be like, if you do, could you not do it with this person? And I was like, huh, interesting that you don't want me to do it.
Well, I love the thing where you go, huh. I never thought not doing the terrible thing was an option.
Yeah.
I just assumed doing the terrible thing was the only option.
It's
it's
weird. And you know, even you know, it's shit being stuck in the back of a van. It's shit, you know, doing 85 airports in the space of 3 weeks. But you kind of like it at the same time. You know, you get excited when you go, oh, thank God, there's a WH Smith in this airport. I know where I am.
Yeah.
I know I'm going to get ripped off for a Yorkie, but at least I know what is going on right now.
Check this out. We thought of when we were on our first man-made tour, like in the van, and we were like, oh, okay, our goal is to, we're going to rate and review and do like a write-up of every service station we go to. And because we were like, yeah, and because basically we were like, every band can relate to this, 100%. And it'll give us something to focus on, it'll be funny. And we were thinking as well, this is the only way we will ever get any like mention in a music press. We were like, let's do it this way. No, they won't write about the music, they won't write about the gigs, but if we review a toilet in like, you know, outside of Stoke, I bet that'll do it. And I shit you not, after the first one, we were like, this is too depressing to do. We absolutely can't do it. Because the second you leave a service station, you know, unless it's like one of the fancy ones, every part of you wants to just forget that whole experience. You don't want to dwell on it. You don't want to sit and review and break down everything. And we were just like, oh my God, if we'd have carried on this, I think we would have completely had like a meltdown where you just go, this is the most depressing thing.
Well, it's weird because it's like a really short orgasm, because you stand outside the van and you're like, oh, fresh air, you stretch your back. And then as soon as you walk through those fucking doors and you go, oh God, I hate everything about this place. And you're like, get me back in the van. And you're like, not for 7 hours.
Yeah.
I don't care.
Oh, I know. It's weird. The level of like, this is what's funny. Like the level of institutionalized, like, you know, that we become when you're on tour, the fact that, yeah, you're even like the safety of the van, like following each other all like ducklings, you know, where you just can't leave. And like,
where's he gone? Oh, he's going over there. Oh, I'm going to go see what he's doing.
Yeah, what have you got? There's loads of like, what have you got? And then you all end up eating the same thing as well. You can't order at a restaurant normally.
Yeah, sat in a fucking massage chair next to a fucking slot machine.
Oh yeah, but it's so weird because like even so, just before, what's kind of funny, like the last gigs before everything stopped, like I was doing this fucking record because you know that's all I've been doing, and my mate was like, oh, so you'll like this band that are playing in Manchester, like this American band, you know, they were like, oh, The Wants, you'll like them, go see them. And I was like, cool, great. Yeah. You know, I'll take the recommendation. loved it. Absolutely, like one of the best bands I've seen in ages. And you know, when you just like, all I do is like hang out in venues for a job, you know, and it's depressing in like shit, tiny venues, no dressing room, you know, the weather's cold. Like, and then I was like, oh, I'm going to hang out. Saw this band that was so good that made me go like, man, I want to do that. And I've only been off for like a week, you know? And then I like ended up driving to the next show. Cause I was like, oh, what, you just playing in Leeds? Yeah. Fuck yeah. I'll come. I'll drive over. And then all of a sudden I was like, oh, do you guys need like that moral, not moral, Mr. Moral Compass. Nice. Yeah. No, I was like, do you guys, you know, need that kind of extra energy to break up the final stretch, you know, before you all kill each other? And I was loving hanging out with everyone. And all of a sudden I'm like, great, I've just invited myself on the road. And I ended up just touring with a band just to watch and lift cases, you know, where you just like, just for fun. And it's so funny that to loads of people, that sounds like a really terrible idea.
It sounds like a fucking terrible idea to me. I'm not going to lie. Like when you
I know. And tour, but in my head, I was like, I've got like stuff to do. And Kristen, even at home, was like, what do you mean? I'm like, I'm going to be gone for 10 days. I was like, what, with people you just met? I'm like, yeah, the gigs are really good. I'm just, you know.
Yeah, I mean, it could be mistaken for dogging. Like if someone was suspicious, they'd be like, I think he's going out dogging. I think that's what it is. He's like disappearing with gazers and vans for a few days. Like
I know, but it's just so funny that once you start, you literally like you just, there's nothing else that scratches the itch, is it?
No, I don't think even the horrible tours I've done, I've never like counted every day and been like, oh, you know, 20 days till I go home or whatever. I'm just,
yeah, no, I've never,
like, you just
that.
Roll with the punches, and you know, it's still, even the worst stuff in the world that happens here is still fucking hilarious. And like, and the thing is it only gets funnier the further time apart you've had from that moment as well, you know.
I know. Wait, check this out. This thankfully didn't happen to me, but it was the funniest on that last Hands tour. So there's a young kid on, he's one of the techs, and like all the other techs have kind of like taken him under his, you know, under their wing, and like there's a bunch of crew that are
right
kitchen.
He's behind me.
There's a bunch of crew that are like our age and stuff, you know, so it's not like a bunch of old roadies necessarily. And this kid, so he's American, he has never been out of the country. Oof. And we're about to go on this like Asian tour, and he's never been a tech before as well, so this is all new. Day one, literally first day, gets out off the plane, goes to the hotel, checks in, breaks his leg walking down the stairs on the way to his room. And we had this poor kid.
Oh,
we had to leave him. We had to leave him in a Singapore hospital, you know. And he's never been out the country before, because we were like, well, the show, you know, we'll just meet you in like Hong Kong or wherever. And he did. So he broke his leg the first day and spent the entire tour in a wheelchair.
Fucking hell, I bet he was helpful, wasn't he?
Yeah, that was his first tour. That was his first, you know, and you're just like, mate.
Well, fair play to still be doing it. I mean, yeah. That's the thing, like, I know so many sick notes in, you know, normal 9-to-5 jobs, and I'm like, if you're on tour and you get ill, there is no one to cover you. You are not going home. And then I was like, let me tell you about a little story when I was in Belgium once. And I got fucking poisoned, and the next day we had to go to Amsterdam, and it was the worst I'd ever felt in my life, and I still had to work a show that night. It was horrendous.
You know what, man? Wait, check this out. I totally forgot about this. So the only time I've ever missed a show was, so it was on the Hands tour. We just played in Liverpool. Check this out. I was like, you know, they had food for after the show, And it was like, everyone's getting pizza or what have you. I'm obviously the only one getting a vegan thing. And they were like, ordered it, sent me in my tiny little, you know, my little box. No one else is eating. You know, when you take a bite of something, I was just starving at the end, you know, and because it's Liverpool, it's like near hometown show. So I'm like talking to people, got guests and what have you. I've not seen for ages because we've been on the road for so long. Took a bite of a pizza and you're like, you know, when you immediately go, something's not right here. Straight away, something's not right. And I was like, okay, fine. Finished the slice and then was like, right, chatting. We had a day off. We didn't have a day off. It was just like, I was going to spend the night in Manchester, like in my own bed. And then I was going to get the train up to Glasgow to do the show. And we drove, my mates picked me up. We drove back home. We went to the Curry Mile in Manchester and I was like, I really want this. Like, I really want to go to this falafel place. I love, you know, and like, da da da. And it was Ramadan. So everyone had just like broken fast, fucking full street party. I get out, we order a falafel. I get out the car. All of a sudden I'm like, I am about to be very, very ill because I have been poisoned by Scousers. And you know, in the street, I'm stood on the street and there are all these people that were looking at me, like coming up to me going like, are you okay? Something looks very, very wrong. Strangers going, you look very, very ill. Can you come in my house? Like, is there anything I can do for you? I was like, no. Started vomiting on the street. So get taken home. My one night supposedly in my bed. I have never been more ill in my entire life. You know, when you're like, I'm about to die. This is how I die. Yeah. I'm on my bathroom floor. Just didn't make it. Couldn't even make it to the sink to like drink any water. And then I spent the whole night there and I was like, holy fuck, I'm too ill to get on a train. I'm too ill to even stand up. I had to call my folks. I was like, I'm going to need you to drive me to Glasgow. And I was like, I'm going to need you. I was like to my dad, I'm like, I'm going to need you to play my part for the show. And I was like, there's no way around it. And so my mum picks us up. Like, so I'm in the car, I get bundled in. I'm like lying down, can barely, you know, like function. I'm teaching my dad some of the songs in the car, you know, and he's like, he's got a guitar in the front seat. My mum's driving. We're playing it through the stereo. And I'm like sitting there going like, okay, the next one. Okay, now it goes to D minor. And then, you know, and I'm like trying to teach him. Yeah, gipping. And then check this out. So I get to Glasgow, what have you, like sleep it off in the bus, you know, and then the next day we're still there and I'm feeling slightly better. The insurance are like, you have to go to the venue paramedics because we're about to like travel to Europe. And for our insurance, you need to be cleared by a paramedic. And I was like, okay. So I'm there, you know, with all my like, you know, my jewelry and my nails painted and what have you. And I've got these Glaswegian paramedics on their day off in a venue that there isn't a gig. They come down and they're like, basically been told by a load of LA, fancy LA musicians, like, I think he would do well with like a B12 shot, or can we get him on like IV fluids and, you know, just spruce him up. And I was trying to explain to him, I'm like, this is a venue in Glasgow. I'm a fuck going to be given a B12 shot. Like they, and obviously they're like, you know, these two lads, Glaswegian lads, absolutely hilarious. Go into the little back room. They've got some medical equipment. It's just shit loads of cans of Iron Brew, empty cans of Iron Brew, like all on there. They like dust off the whole thing, get this like machine to take my pulse and my blood pressure. And they're like laughing, you know, they're like, when was the last time you vomited? I'm like, well, it was like a few hours ago. And they're like, when was the last time you shat? Like, a few hours before that. And they were like, have you, you know, do you feel like you're going to vomit now? I'm like, no. They're like, probably don't eat anything for a bit. And then they were like laughing because they was like, B12 shot. And he went, as he chose a massive swig out of this new bottle of Iron Brew, he goes, there's such a thing as too healthy, you know. I'm like, that's a fucking medical professional.
You've heard it here, ladies and gentlemen.
Yeah. And then we drive to we drive to Belgium, of all places, again.
Favorite spot.
Turns out Eddie Vedder's playing in the same town. We've got a day off. He's staying in the same hotel as us. You know, because as I check in, Eddie comes over. Now, I've not seen that. I've not seen him since I was like a child, you know.
Yeah.
And he's like a, you know, a real hero of mine. And comes over to me. He goes, Niall, I heard you had the shits. I'm like, how the fuck does Eddie Vedder and all his... I've just arrived in Belgium and everyone cool knows I had the shits.
He threw you under the bus.
Yeah, I was like, great, cool.
Well, yeah, that's it. And it doesn't put you off going on the road again and risking it.
Yeah, but plus, I haven't eaten a Domino's pizza since, though.
No, I don't blame you. I don't think I've eaten any food in Belgium since my experience. I remember just sitting up in bed and just really violently, and like our tour manager just standing over going, "You're right, mate." And then I'm sat up, like, I couldn't even talk. Like, it was coming out of me that much. He's like,
"Yeah,
oh, you look like you've been poisoned." And then he just sort of went to sleep. And I'm like, oh, fuck me. I've got to deal with this on my own now. I just scooped up the bed sheets and just put them in the shower. I was like, I'll deal with that later.
You know what? So, like, people don't realize how on the level of touring that we've done, like, how eating is not guaranteed. You know, when you just like, especially when we were, being veggie.
Yeah.
Like,
it's, yeah. I mean, even, you know, in fact, on some of those howler tours, when we've gone to Germany and they're like, oh, the venue's going to take us out for a meal. So like, you can pick your food. And I'm like, cool. Like, what are the veggie options? And they're like, I think you're going to have the salad. And I'm like, no, I'm just going to stay here. I've got some bread and cheese in the van. Like, I'm not going out for a German salad.
I can't even do bread and cheese. Yeah, like.
Just like living off Pringles and sweaty sandwiches from the service stations in Europe.
Do you remember Jay when he stopped taking his meds?
Yeah.
In the back of the van with us. And do you remember his whole thing was, I'm not going to eat. The only thing I'm going to eat is like a couple of bit packets of crisps that you get on the rider. And he was like, I'm not going to eat because I want to save all my money. And at the end of it, have like a bunch of cash.
Yeah. And he was like skimping on his cigarettes as well, wasn't he?
He was skimping on his meds, skimping on his cigarettes. I remember his girlfriend kept calling him like, every week to be like, I'm pregnant. And obviously he's like, I've been on the road the whole time. You know, so that was a real head fuck for him. And I just remember being in a van with like a, you know, a teenager, like, who's literally wasting away, where I'd even do stuff like, mate, I've got a bag of spinach from the service station, have some carrots, you know, where you just go like, just eat something, otherwise you'll die.
Yes. They were so, I know if you've never been on tour before, you can be really unprepared, but just mentally, they were all so unprepared for that. Like
for England
for England as well. They wouldn't go out and check any of the cities that we were in. They wouldn't go out and find like any cool little spots to hang out. You know, they moaned about how cold it was. They were freaked out the fact that we had beans for breakfast. And then they were just having the big money fallout already, and Adora started to hate each other, and I was like, "It's gonna be fun."
And you know what? As well, the big one that I'm always the dead giveaway is where you're like, "You're not gonna have a good time because you don't have appropriate footwear." You know, you're like, you're coming to a very, very soggy island. Like, how many pairs of socks did you bring as well? Oh, you brought two. Oh, you brought two pairs of socks and you're wearing like slip-on Vans in the winter.
And you'll think that you'll have a chance to go and do your laundry on this tour. I'm looking at the itinerary here. We've got no days off and we're not staying in a hotel. We stayed in the beggar's flat for like 90% of the time, didn't we?
Yeah,
bunk beds
all together. I remember because the drummer at the time was he was the first person I'd ever seen with Netflix.
Was it?
I remember that really vividly. Yeah.
He was the first person I'd ever seen a grinder.
Yeah. Yeah. He was very app forward.
He was showing me grind and it blew my mind. I was like, wait, I don't understand. Why are you getting all these pictures of dicks? Like, and he's just like meeting up with grinder dates like in random cities. And I was like, I can't believe this is a thing. Like, gay guys have got it going on. Like, we done it.
I know. This. Yeah.
Came back to the beggar.
I think the
time when he was sweaty and cross-eyed because he'd just been on the date, and he was like, "Oh, he was touching my dick on the way home." I was like, "Oh, nice."
I think the important thing to remember as well is no one would have wanted to have sex with us even if we had an evening off, because you go, "Oh, those malnourished, really, really grubby blokes." Who were pissed off the whole time because we've been asked to do something really stupid by someone really stupid.
Yeah, that is it. We were the fucking glue of that tour.
Well, I was pitched to it where you're like, and this has happened a couple of times where you go like, please come on and show a band like work ethic. You know, where like a record label have gone like, we've put loads of money into this band and shock horror, they now think money grows on trees.
They think they have a tour budget for every tour they go on.
Yeah, exactly. And they're like, please show these kids how to be like dirt poor.
Yeah.
And like do some work.
How to load out at the end of the day, how you fit all your equipment into a small van.
Yeah, it's funny. It's like, but that's the fun bit, you know.
It wasn't them. No. They weren't up for any of that.
No, they weren't up. And that's, you know, and look at us. We're still miserable.
That's it. I'm 30 and less than a week now. It's a miracle that I've made it this far, to be honest. That was a close call, making that decade. Like, there were times where I'm like, I'm not making 30. I can smell it in the air.
There's times where you're looking at a dressing room covered in terrible dick graffiti for the like 30th day on the row, where you're just like, these dicks have been drawn by upset people and they're making this, you know, where they're like, they're making my day worse.
Yeah.
And you know, where you're just like, okay. Yeah. 30. Do I get different dicks to look at? You know, is that it?
So I'm still staring at some dicks.
People don't understand. Like, I've never graffitied a band dressing room because I'm like, they're most of the time in toilet tours, they're really grim.
Yeah.
You know, and I'm like,
spoiled one, but I don't think I've graffitied.
Yeah. And you're like, why would you make it worse? Like, we had to, you know, obviously at Night and Day, like, there was a famous dick wall. And I'd be like, you know, you'd see bands come in and I'm just like, did you draw a dick on the wall? And they're like, yeah. I'm like, who do you think has to paint over that? I have to paint over the dicks. I have to paint over the, you know, they're just like, oh, Niall Marr. Yeah, he's really fucking cool. I'm like, did you draw a dick? You know, I've just never got it. I've never understood why you intentionally want to make like it worse. That my favorite bit of band graffiti though exists in Stoke. I'm not sure I've told you this one.
The city of graffiti in the UK, Stoke.
There you go. Yeah. In the Sugar Mill, which everyone always says the same thing, where you're like, yeah, that's the venue that smells like they've just poured bleach over everything. And you're like, okay, yeah. I mean, it's still sticky, but it smells like bleach. Cool, I guess.
It is clean, but it doesn't feel clean.
In amongst this just torrent of awful, awful things, you know, like horrible drawings, there's a hidden in a beautiful spot tucked away. It just says, it takes a real man to fuck another man.
I mean, it does. It's the manliest thing I know.
And honestly, every time we play there, I'm like, that gives me hope for humanity, at least.
There's different graffiti out there as well, and it's inspiring.
Yeah, you know,
it's
almost brought a tear to my eye.
Yeah.
God, mate. Yeah, that's the other thing where you just like people like this idea that there's like, I don't know who still thinks you've got this like rock and roll thing that's happening on tour. Because I'm like, if you make a mess, you're now living in that mess, you know, and no one wants to sleep with sweaty guys.
No.
And especially that early tour, we're going back nearly a decade. It's like everyone's 18, 19, and we're on a tour where there's a lot of underage fans because everyone's a teenager.
Yeah,
you know, and we're playing all ages shows.
Mm.
Yeah. And it's like, so, and you, everyone's got this idea that they're like, oh my God, I'm going to go chat to the band. And if you're a teenage girl and you suddenly see the band, they're like, oh my God, these guys are losers. You know, because it's like, we suck, man. We like covered in sweat. You smell terrible. We have to lift really heavy things into a terrible vehicle, you know.
Yeah, our hands are black.
It's not sexy.
No, it's not. It's not sexy. It never becomes sexy.
No.
Even with age, it's not a thing that, you know, it will grow on me. It always just looks
hip. I think, you know, I truly think it's aged. Like, it's aged us horribly. It will age us horribly, you know.
Definitely, definitely. Just mentally, it's aged me horribly. You know,
yeah.
There's nothing sadder than when you're playing a show just down the road and I'm like, I could go back to mine, get on the train, because I know I've got a bag of moon rocks that I can go get to spice up this tour. And it's like sad little moments like that. And you look back on it and you go, who the fuck thought that was a good idea? And playing like Fruit Ninja, but not on the phone in real life, like with a kitchen knife on a tour bus. Because I've got moon rocks in my system and I'm feeling the love. It's fucking stupid.
Oh my God, mate. Yeah.
Just barely survived it.
I know.
But now it's similar to my old man. I'm teaching people now. I'm not offering my services on the road as much as I once was. I'm no longer a whore for the road. So it's just you now, I'm afraid.
Yeah, it's still me, you know, who thinks it's a good idea. You know what, as well, and that's the thing. Like, I just don't see how I'd ever stop doing it.
Yeah, well, the difference is you're really good at it as well. Like, just in that little survival mode of, I know how to eat, I know when to sleep, and when I'm pushing it too hard, and you know,
yeah,
avoiding all the traps of weird fans and dealing with shyster promoters as well. Let's not forget the creme de la creme.
Did you? I don't think you were on this show. We did the piece de resistance. We used to in the first Man Made tour, we had a baseball bat with us at all times. And obviously, look at us. We, also, bear in mind, my hair was like down here, wearing glitter the whole time, like sparkly nails, you know. And then we played a show in Liverpool. And I think it was shipping forecast, and like in the worst weather you've ever seen, midweek, no promo, you know, like no fucker came. It was miserable. And we're there going like, you know what? We feel bad for the promoter, but this is just another day for us. And you promised to pay us. So miraculously, you know, obviously did the classic, right, let me just get your money. You pack down. I'll get your money. I'll come back. Obviously didn't show.
Yeah.
I managed to find, I was like so pissed off because I'm like midpoint on the tour. I managed to find the guy's address. I found the guy's home address and everyone's there like, drop it, drop it, drop it. And I was like, abso-fucking-lutely not. We're going to get paid for this. So got everyone in the van. All of us piled in. Drove to his house in the middle of the night, knocked on his door, all of us, you know, and I'm like, hold my bling, and no one else is going to knock. And I'm like, fuck it, I'll do it. Yeah, yeah, yeah. I'm like, knocked on the door of his fucking house, man. He answers, and he's like, you know, his wife's in the house and what have you. He answers in his fucking pajamas and dressing gown. Yeah. And I was like, and we're stood, not very intimidating. We're stood there going like, right, now you promised to pay us, you need to pay us, and if you don't have, I was like, you've got two options. I can take you to a cash point with us, or I'll come inside and get the money. And it was the biggest bluff I've ever pulled in my life. And he was fucking, he was not happy at all. And I was like, I have turned up at your house. Look at me. I am very thin and very tired. You know, I'm like, who knows what I might do, you know? We got him in the van with all the fucking dudes, and he's sitting there, and I was like, drove him to a cash point, emptied his bank account, put it in, emptied his fucking, you know, I was like, available balance, like, check available balance. Because he's like, I've not got that much cash. I was like, let's see, check available balance. I was like, yeah, I was like, right, we'll have all of that. Got it. Dropped him back off at his house, drove off into the night. And then I got a call from my agent going, I hear you shook down a promoter. And I was like, yeah, we needed petrol money. And he was like, you know, this is why we have an, this is why you have an agent. We'll like chase them up. And, you know, and I was like, no, I need cash. I don't believe in this like e-banking nonsense.
No. Cash in hand, please. On a toilet tour, it should always be cash in hand.
Yeah. And you try and explain. You try and explain the story like that to like the musicians in Hans's band, and they're like, "What?"
just any of our little shitty tour stories, like without even getting in details. They, you know, they probably shit white if they knew some of the conditions we had to put up with.
Yeah, and you just go like, "Why?" I mean, that one doing an entire tour where were being driven around by an actual paedophile.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, who just hated everything about his job, the people we...
Yeah. Apart from the fact that he got to then text 14 and 15-year-old girls.
Yeah, apart from that bit. He was in it for the...
That was his highlight. Words. Yeah.
Unfortunately, that was...
So we started strong.
Oh, this is going to be a long tour, isn't it?
He was more miserable. He was more horrible to us, though, after we got that bit of information.
Oh, yeah. I mean, it was so bad.
It was worth it.
I flew home instead of drove home. Like, we finished, I can't remember what the last date was, but I remember it was either... Because I think I was going to go on tour with Ash like 2 or 3 days afterwards.
Yeah.
Like you can either do a 2-day drive back with him or you can pay for your own flight. And I was like, drop me off at the airport, please. I am flying out. I was like, I am
done with this nonsense.
I'm not putting up with him for another 2 days. The fuck do you think I am? Fuck yourself. I was straight out of there. You know, 4 o'clock in the morning flight or whatever. I don't give a fuck. But yeah, they wouldn't survive off the tour situation.
No,
we've been in. I mean, like this last tour that I did, you know, it was just rough from start to finish. Again, one of those where day one and you go, oh Christ! And at the halfway point, we're in Slovakia, and we had a really tight curfew, you know, it might have even been 10:30 or 10 for some, for whatever reason, that was the curfew. The rapper is, you know, one song away from finishing, but we've hit the time, and so the sound engineer cuts everything. So I go to the sound engineer and I'm like, one more song, and he says, no, go fuck yourself. And unfortunately the rapper heard him say that. So he pulls him on stage and he's like, if you say that to my tour manager again, I'll slit your fucking throat. And I'm like, there's a lot of witnesses right now. Like the whole audience has just seen you say that. And so like there was all this back and forth, and like he didn't get to play the other song in the end, and it was all kicking off with the crew, and like the promoter's rep come and sort of like calmed it all down, and then, you know, it's stupid now when I think back to it, but they were like, look, have a drink. Let's just chill out. It's done. It's over. So I have this drink. It's the first drink of the night. And suddenly, like, my vision's gone. And I'm like,
oh,
I have been spiked. And luckily, the hotel was across the road from the venue. So I like get up immediately and like sprint to the hotel, because I'm like, if I pass out here, someone is stamping on my head. That they are not trying to make love to me. They are trying to really, really hurt me. And like I made it to the receptionist at the hotel, and then just poof, collapsed on the floor. And like the receptionist, this poor young female, had to carry this 6'3" lump all the way up these stairs, because apparently in Slovakia they don't know what an elevator is, so it's all stairs. So yeah, and then I woke up the next day and I'm like, I am feeling fucking rough. And like the promoter's rep was like, I think last night you had too much to drink. I had a sip of one drink, so thank you very much. I could drink all of you under the table normally. And yeah, I was like, I was just on a come down for like pretty much a day and a half of like, I am struggling to breathe.
Brutal.
And believe it or not, the tour got worse after that. That was actually a highlight in the end.
Oh my God. Fucking hell, mate.
But yeah, it was good fun. But yeah, hopefully, you know, the world will slowly turn to normal. The record will come out and you'll be able to do it all again. And if we time it right, I'll be like, yeah, fuck it, I'll come on tour. Let's go shake some promoters down together.
Yeah, I know. Well, there's always room in the van.
It'll be lovely.
I'm the only person that picks the members of the band based on the van size.
That's a good idea. As long as there's always room for a 6'3" idiot, then I'm always going.
Yeah, there you go.
So how are you feeling about the new record? Like, I know you're sort of a bit frustrated and, you know,
the one that's about to come out, great. I'm like, it'll be out. Won't it be nice to join the ranks of, I just can't believe that it's only my second record.
Yeah.
As like, which is mental, because I've done loads.
We're talking about 9 years since the Howler tour. I still remember putting that EP in my laptop, and as soon as I heard, is Thank God track 2 on that EP?
I'm not sure.
I'm sure it was like track 2, and I just remember when that kicked in and I was like,
you know, I still get asked, like, I get people ask me for those tracks and I don't have them.
You're not?
No. And I'm like, they're like, oh, have you got the version of like Happiness? And I was like, nope.
No.
Can't imagine it's very good.
I've moved a lot in 9 years or whatever.
I know.
So is that EP 10 years old now? Or did that come out?
Yeah, that'll be 10 years.
That'll be 10? Fucking hell. Yeah, so here comes record number 2.
I know.
Perfectly. So you've waited for a global.
I need to. That's why I'm like, I need to get this one that I'm working on now finished, so it will come out definitely next year, and then I have to start just like making up for lost time.
Yeah. Well, luckily everyone's going to be doing that at the minute, so you're going to have to learn on that. So have you got are you with an agent, or what's your? You're just going to book it all yourself at first?
Oh no, we got an agent. He's absolutely sound, but
well, an agent, I have an agent. What does that mean?
Yeah, exactly. Who knows? Who knows? I just care about like, you know what? That's the only fun thing about. I don't have to hold all those old songs in my brain because I don't have to play them. So I just get to shelve that whole bit, and then I'm like, okay, just work on new ones. Which is why I really want these to be done, so I can shelve them and then do new things.
It's like a disc defrag, like every now and
then. Yeah.
Just sort of, ah.
There's only so much real estate in your brain.
There is. And mine has shrunk heavily in the last 10 years. Like,
there you go.
It's gotten smaller and the content's gotten bigger. And it's like this. Yeah. It's not a good sign for me at my age. Well, that's good. I'm excited for you. I hope that, you get to go on the road again next year and we get to laugh at the WH Smith's queues and, you know, rank toilets together at some point.
Yeah, man. No, we've elevated. We're at least M&S.
Yeah. Ooh. posh.
I know. I'm 28. We're nearly M&S.
That's it. The Ma surname's got to carry some fucking weight in this place.
Yeah, exactly. You know what? What's really funny, like pulling up outside, if we ever play shows with my dad, we pull up behind his bus to load in, and like his fans are like waiting outside, and they see like me in a fucking beat up Toyota, and they're like, all of us pile out with all the gear. They're just like, this isn't as glamorous as I pictured, you know.
it's surreal. That was honestly like one of my favorite tours ever, was being able to tour with you and your dad, like when you guys were opening for him and we were doing all those O2 Academy shows. Like it was like a real full circle, because obviously, like, you know, your dad's been doing it for eternity, my dad's been doing it for eternity, their sons have then been raised in the industry, and like all of us managed to get together. And, you know, that must have been one of my dad's last tours as well, before he went in the lecture. Yeah. Like, I can't imagine he would have done many more full ones, like where he, you know, jumped on the bus and stayed with us. I love that. I remember, you know, you guys ironing your stuff on the stage during soundcheck. Like, you know, even when we're in venues 10 times the size of some of the ones that me and you have been doing together, you still just bring that little DIY stuff. I've not fully made it yet, everyone. I'm on stage right now.
You should see, that's the thing, you should see me on the hands gig. I am the least DIY. I'm like, will someone carry my luggage? Excellent.
This is part of me. Like, when that all kicks up again, I'd love to come along the one and just purely watch someone load in for you and just see you just be able to take the seat and be like, I'm not doing anything until the set starts. Like,
my tech for Hans was nominated for a Grammy. I'm like, my tech is so much better than I am. I know. So I'm always like, yeah, he's Grammy nominated, and he gets paid more than I do. So it's still not, well, there still not quite there.
You're still sticking to your roots there, aren't you? You don't want to be open.
There you go. No, thank you. No, money would be too nice.
I insist. You take the higher wage, Mr. Tech. That's very kind of you, Noel, for doing that.
There you go. I know.
But yeah, I'd love to see it. I can't quite imagine. It's, you know, seeing us slum it in the back of vans and then you go on stage with Mr. Zimmer. You've made some progress, at least. I'm not too sure what my...
Yeah. That's the thing, when people are like, does it not feel weird getting back to, like, when you play to then, like, a tiny room? I'm like, nah. You can do both.
Comfortable.
Yeah.
That's what it is.
I know.
Well, well done for doing that, man. It's honestly, you guys, like, the worst thing about this pandemic for me is like, you know, if you or your dad were still on the road, then I would just be trying to jump off and on those tours whenever I can. Cause like, you guys are literally my favorite people in the world. Like, hanging around with you and Sonny and your mom and your dad are like.
See, you've come full circle there again, though, Barney. You're like, I'm really glad I'm not going to get on the road. I'd never jump back on. And then all of it, you've talked yourself back around to going.
Honestly, the only people in the world that could convince me to do it again would be the Mars. Like, 100% I would do that again. If they're rappers from overseas, I have the tendency now to say fuck off.
But
just to get to hang around with you guys again. Is this
It'd be good fun, wouldn't it?
We have a good laugh, and you know, the City Portsmouth rivalry will always be a bit of a sham. it's not so fun when we're scraping, you know, League One and your dad's going on the pitch to help the team lift the Premier League. All right, Johnny. Fancy a stroll on the pitch, did you, with Noel?
That's so funny, man. Fucking daft.
Thank you for doing this. You are,
mate,
guest number one. When I
absolute pleasure.
Good idea of, I'm gonna chat shit and put it out to the internet, I was like, Nylmar. It was
there. You go. Well, I can always do a repeat guest if people have follow up questions. If you ever get stuck, I'm literally doing nothing.
Sure, they will. They'll be like, now, when he said he had long hair, just how long was his hair then? dig through the archive.
Yeah, how exactly.
Three was his glitter. But yeah, I appreciate it. I miss you every day.
No, I miss you too, man.
And we should do this again soon. And when the world is back to normal, I'll come up to Manchester.
Yeah, man, it'd be good fun.
And good luck in your little shack with your little glitter balls. Who's next door to you, whatever his name is. Fucking
smack God, mate. Yeah.
All right, man, I'm going to love you and leave you. You got
nice one, mate. Good talking to you.
We love you long time.
Yeah.
See you later.
See you later, man.